take your Bibles, you can turn with me today to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. In the first 13 verses of Exodus chapter 12, we began to examine the 10th and the last plague. This plague will move Pharaoh and he'll move all of Egypt to let the Israelites go and worship the Lord in the wilderness. Last week, we examined the Lord's instructions to Moses and Aaron concerning, first of all, the when they were to remember the Passover. We looked at that in verses 1 and 2. Then we focused on the way they were to remember the Passover in verses 3 through 11. Remember, they were to take a lamb according to the number of the souls in the home. They were to take a lamb without blemish, without spot, and they were to kill that perfect lamb. And they were to take that lamb and then shed its blood. Remember, they were put the blood on the side post and the upper post of the door. And then they were to eat a lamb with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. All of that in verses 3 through 11. And now let's focus on why they were to remember the Passover. We said, first of all, what God would do to the Egyptians and their good. Look at verse 12. We'll read that together. And he says, and I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now, what would he do for the Israelites? We saw what he's going to do to the Egyptians. Let's see what he's going to do for the Israelites. Verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now we are going to this morning focus on just how important would it be for the Israelites to remember the Passover. Our first point is this. The Lord's going to speak to Moses. He's going to speak to Aaron about the Passover prior to it actually occurring. The occurrence won't happen until verse 29, but we'll look at the verses prior to that this morning. All right, when were they to keep the Passover? Look at verse 14. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. This day, we read, shall be unto you for a memorial. Now, this Hebrew word translated memorial is also six times translated remembrance. A memorial, people, is something to be remembered. A memorial then is established to remember a person, to remember an event, but it's established to remember. In fact, there are 71 times the word Passover appears in your Bible. Surely it was something God wanted them to remember. In fact, in the Old Testament, it can be found in the following books. There's nine different books. You know, we got the first five books, but of those five, it's found in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. All of those four, it's found in the book of Joshua. It's found in 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, and Ezekiel. Nine different books. There's the mention of the Passover, but it's not only found in the Old Testament, it's also found in the New Testament. Six books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And in fact, there's a lot of chapters in John. John 2, 6, 11, 12, 13, 18, 19. And then also in 1 Corinthians 5 and Hebrews 11. Six books. So what am I trying to emphasize? I'm trying to emphasize that indeed this was an ordinance that God wanted his people to remember, as mentioned not only in the Old Testament, but also mentioned in the New Testament. The nation of Israel was to remember the Passover by establishing, we read here, a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. It was to be a feast. The memorial was to be remembered by this nation of Israel by means of a feast, and it was to be forever. And you know what? Even today, the Jews celebrate, many of the Jews still celebrate this holiday, this particular memorial, this time of remembrance, the Passover. Now, you know, each year, in the last Monday of May, our nation, we have our own Memorial Day, don't we? We also call it Declaration Day. It's a time when we remember those who have died protecting our nation during any of the wars. One of the ways that this day is remembered is people go to the gravesites and put a flag or say a prayer unto the Lord, giving thanks for those who have died protecting our nation during these number of various wars. Now, whereas the emphasis of our nation's Memorial Day is to remember those men and women who died protecting our nation, here, the emphasis of Israel's Memorial Day was to remember the Lord who had protected them, who had kept them safe. Look at your purpose, very first purpose on your sheet. When I am impressed by the Lord to establish a memorial, in order to remember an event or person, I purpose to do it. Don't be afraid of establishing a memorial, a time to remember a special event, a time to remember a special person. So feel free to do so. But now, notice next, the way they were to keep this Passover in verses 15 and 16. What was the way? Well, 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Verse 16. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation. And in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation. That is to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat. That only may be done of you. We're told that in this week they were to eat unleavened bread. Now, if anyone disregarded and disobeyed this command, we're told they were to be cut off from Israel. Now, this phrase, to be cut off, can have one of two meanings. It can mean to be excommunicated, or it can have the meaning of being put to death. Now, we look and we scratch our heads and we say, my, you mean they're going to be put to death because they partook of leavened bread? No, they're going to be put to death because they what? Disobey God. And one of the things we need to wrap our minds around is this. Well, look at your purpose. I purpose not to take lightly disobeying God's command, knowing God will judge me for so doing. Now, he may not judge you with death. He might just judge you with sickness. Or he may just judge you with any other ways. But God will judge us. But according here now to verse 16, take a look at it. Both the first and the seventh, they would be a holy convocation to the people. Now, Strong, he says this Hebrew word holy means to be set apart. It means to be holy, okay? Now, the convocation, the word convocation, It has the connotation of calling together to read, to understand. So you put those two words together, holy convocation. It was supposed to be a time when the Israelites were to separate themselves from the world and to worship the Lord. By reading, by seeking to understand his commandments. It was a time when they were to be devoted to the Lord and not to work. They were not to work except to prepare a meal. That's all they were to do. All right, let's take a look and see what purpose we might come up with. I purpose to consider setting aside some time this year for a spiritual retreat by separating myself from the world and work, and by letting God talk to me and me talk to God. Sometimes it's good for us just to have this holy convocation, this holy time with our Lord, seeking to understand his mind, seeking to let him understand our mind. Of course, God knows our mind, but lots of times he likes us to speak our mind unto him. Now, let's focus now on the next point, the why they were to keep this Passover. Look at verse 17. Why were they to keep it? And ye shall observe the feast of the unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. God wanted to remember this day because it's going to be a day when God was about to deliver them from their enemy. He says here in this verse, for in this selfsame day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. You see, God would have us to remember those times when he has delivered us from sinners. There's other times we need to be mindful of how he's delivered us from sin, and how he's even delivered us from suffering and from Satan. My wife, she's wanting to start a journal about what's going on. And that's good. It's good for us to be mindful of how God has delivered us from our various enemies. Look at your purpose, please. You know what? I purpose to establish a memorial of remembrance to God. Why? For delivering me. No, and it can be any number of these things or other things, but sin, from a sinner, from suffering, yes, and even from Satan. Now, it's kind of interesting because now in verses 18 through 20, lest they had missed the instructions as to the way they were to observe the Passover, he tells Moses and Aaron once again, but he adds a few additions. Let's see what they are. The when and the way they were to keep the Passover. Look at verse 18. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at eve, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 20th day of that month at eve. 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. He says, ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. All right, so when was this to be done? Well, he tells us, first month of the eve, on the 14th day until the eve of the 21st day of the month. This feast was to be unto the Lord, and it was to last for 7 days. Now, the way, well, again, we're told, ye shall eat unleavened bread for those 7 days. In fact, they weren't to have any leaven in their homes. Now, why do you suppose they weren't to have it even in their homes? Remember what leaven represents in the Bible. It represents what? Sin, okay? So their lives, their homes were to be sanctified. They were to be ready to worship the Lord in purity. But what else now? Why would God not want them to have the leaven in the home? So that they wouldn't be what? So they wouldn't be tempted. Now pay attention. Think about this, all right? Leaven representing sin. Ask yourself this question this morning. Do you have any leaven in your home? Something that tempts you to sin? What do you think God would have you to do with it? Remove it. If you can't take the temptation, then remove it. Get it out of your lives. Don't have it there. Notice your purpose, please. You know what? I'm going to purpose examine my home to see if there's anything in it that might tempt me to sin and to eliminate it from my home. Get rid of the leaven, people. Get rid of the leaven. Well, again, now he reminds Moses and Aaron that any who disobey this command, he says this, that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel. He said it now in verse 19, and he said it previously in verse 15. Let me ask you a question. When God states something twice, what do you suppose he's doing? What's his reason for doing so? For emphasis. You know, why do you tell your child twice? Well, you tell him twice for emphasis' sake. Well, God is telling his children twice for emphasis' sake. Don't do that. Don't you take leaven. Otherwise, you're to put that person outside of the camp. Well, that was the Lord's instructions to Moses there. Now, let's take a look at point two. Moses now speaks to the elders about the Passover prior, this is all prior to the Passover. Let's see what he has to do. Moses tells them what they are to do. Look at verses 21 and 22. 21, 22. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel, and he said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike it on the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. Now, Moses, first of all, he repeats the instructions that he'd received from the Lord concerning taking a lamb according to the size of one's family and then killing it. Now, some of the other instructions Moses gives to them, we haven't read about in previous verses. For example, Moses tells them how to apply the blood to the lintel and to the two side posts. They were to take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in blood. And this blood was in the basin, and then they were to apply it. Now, hyssop, I discovered, was a wild shrub, and it's of uncertain identity. But the twigs on this thing were thick enough that the blood could stick to it. They could stick it in the put it on the lintel, put it on the side post. That's new and fresh instructions. But do you see anything else in these verses? Moses' instructions to the elders, which we haven't read before. Focus on the last statement of verse 22. And what's he say? And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. See, that's fresh. That's new. They weren't to go out. They were staying at home. But notice how next Moses tells them why they are not to do this. Look at verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer you, or will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Now that's the reason why. Now the Lord was going to punish the Egyptians with the death of the firstborn. We've already read about that. The Lord was going to pass over the homes of the Israelites when he saw the blood on the lintel and on the two side posts. He would pass over them. And what we see here is that Moses assures them God will not allow the destroyer to come in and smite their firstborn. Now, it's interesting, as I was researching this, many believe that the destroyer was the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. Maybe, maybe not. But now notice Moses tells them when they are to do this. When are they to do this? Look at verse 24. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. In other words, both they and their sons and their sons' sons and their sons' 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 sons were to keep this ordinance. Now, we know that an ordinance is a religious rite. It's to be kept demonstrating one's faith. Now, what two ordinances is the church to keep, are Christians to keep? What are the two ordinances that we're to keep? Keep your marker here in your Bible. Come with me to Matthew chapter 28. Two ordinances. They are to keep this ordinance forever, we're told. Well, what's the two ordinances given to the church? What's the two ordinances that the church is to keep, that Christians should keep? Well, I'll bet you'll know the first one when we read it. Matthew chapter 28. Look with me. We'll start reading with verse 16. Then the 11 disciples, they went away to Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, and some doubted. And Jesus came and he spake unto them, saying, now watch, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always unto the end of the world. What is one of the ordinances that we as Christians are to keep? We are to be baptized. All right, now watch. Just flip over me to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. If you're having time, find it. You can just listen as I read to you the verses. Acts 16. Paul is in jail and about to be liberated. And they brought them out. Let's start our reading at verse 30. Paul and Silas have been freed. And they brought them out, and sirs, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? The jailer's asking them what he could do to be saved. And they said to him, believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. He began to preach the aspect of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Now watch what happened after those were wonderfully and gloriously saved through faith in Christ. And he took them that same hour of the night, and he washed their stripes, and he was baptized, he and all his straightway. He was baptized. He followed in obedience and was baptized. They baptized him. They were commanded to baptize, and this one followed, and his family followed in being baptized. All right, that's one ordinance. But now watch. What's another one? Well, come back with me to Matthew again. Let's see what, because in each one we see Jesus commanding these two ordinances to be done. In Matthew chapter 26, perhaps I should have read that one to you first before we went to Matthew chapter 28. But watch this one. Now, it's kind of interesting. How many times does a person get baptized? Once. All right, you get baptized once. We don't get baptized every year. But what about the Lord's Supper? The second ordinance. Look at Matthew 26, verse 26. 26, 26. And as they were eating, Jesus, he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins, forgiveness of sins. But this I say, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. All right, he begins this now, the Lord's Supper, this ordinance. Now, watch what happens. Jump over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The church is now growing. There's a church at Corinth. And this church at Corinth is practicing the Lord's Supper in remembrance of what the Lord has done for them. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 says this, for I have received of the Lord, that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread, When he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. This is a memorial. And after the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, new covenant in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink the cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Obviously emphasizing that this is to be done what? At least, what would you say? It had to be done at least once what? Every? Had to be done at least once a year. I mean, when was the Passover kept? At least once a year. So this is to be done at least once a year. There are some churches that practice it every week. We've chosen here at Grace Bible Church to do it once a month in remembrance and memorial to the Lord. We didn't choose to do it every week. I don't want something to become just rote. You know, the Father's Prayer has become can become something that's rote. We just say it over and over. The Lord's Supper can be something that is just, okay, we did it. The Lord wants us to be pondering on and thinking on that this is a memorial. This is a remembrance of what God has done for us in sending his only begotten Son to die for our sins. All right. With those comments made, let's go back to our text. As I mentioned, we practice one ordinance, baptism once a year. We practice the second ordinance of the aspect of the Lord's Supper. We practice it once a month. But when we do it, it should cause us to be mindful of what God has done in saving us. Israel was to do it forever, even after they entered into the promised land. Let me show you that here in verse 25. He says, and it shall come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. So this is to be kept forever. Once a year, they were to do this. They were to remember their Lord. Both in Egypt, later in Canaan, they were to keep this ordinance. Now, I want you to note the reason why they were to continue to practice this ordinance. Look at verse 26 and verse 27. Why? And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? Why are we doing this, Mom? Why are we doing this, Dad? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and he delivered our houses. Now, by keeping this memorial every year, it's going to give those families an opportunity, not only to remind themselves, but to remind their children of how the Lord had disciplined the Egyptians and how he had delivered the Israelites on that fateful night. And how did the people respond now to these sayings of Moses and Aaron? Look at the last part of verse 27. And the people bowed the head and worshiped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And of course, the next verse tells us of that great event. Well, let me ask you a question. When is our salvation imputed unto us? You ought to remember that from last week. When is our salvation imputed to us? When we what? When we believe. When we believe what the Bible says about Christ dying for our sins, about being buried, about being raised again. That was all about Romans 3 and 4 that we looked at last week. When was the children of Israel salvation imputed to them? When was it? When they what? When they what? When they believed. Salvation is not imputed until one believes. The moment they believed the word of God, they would experience their salvation. But how is it that you and I can tell that the Israelites have believed the word of God? Look at their phrase here in verse 28. Well, first of all, yeah, verse 28. And the children of Israel, they went away and what? And they did as the Lord commanded them. How do you know if another has believed the words that you've spoken to them? How do you know that? Oh, you say, well, I know it because, hey, they shook their head up and down. Johnny, do you understand me? Mary, you know exactly what I'm saying? Or no, you say, no. It wasn't so much by what I saw. It's by what I heard. They said, I'm going to go do it, Dad. I'm going to go do it, Mom. I understand you completely. Is that when you knew that they had heard your words and were obeying them because of the nod ahead, because of the spoken word? No. Read with me. I'm here in James as we conclude this session today. James chapter 1, verse 19. And he says, okay, summing up, not to be tempted. Don't be tempted to be drawn away of your own lust. He says, okay, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Why? Well, because the wrath of man, it worketh not the righteousness of God. Well, they provoked me. I had a right to be angry. No, you didn't. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. There was anger. Now watch. Here's what he says. Wherefore, I want you to lay apart, put off. What are you to put off? Well, all this filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. What does all that mean? Well, basically saying, put off wickedness. Put off your wickedness. All kinds of wickedness. Put it off. And then what are you to put on? Well, he says, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Put it off. That old man, put on the new man. Now, how do you know that they've received your word? How do you know they've received it with meekness? Look at the next verse. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. That child, you can nod your head up and down to God as many times as you want. You can utter these words, I'm going to do it. I will obey. I will obey. I will obey. You can say it any way you want to say it. But the proof of your faith and trust in the word is that you will go and do it. How do you know your child's received your words? They'll be doers of it. How do you know that you've received your Heavenly Father's words with meekness? You will go and do it. Look at your purpose here. Last purpose. Your last purpose is this. I purpose to demonstrate to others. I have meekly received God's word of instruction as evidence by my obeying it. Now, all these instructions have come just prior to the Passover. Now, when we begin next week, in verse 29, the Passover is going to occur, and then we're going to look at the response of Pharaoh and the Egyptians to the Passover. We're going to look at the response of the children of Israel to the Passover. And then we're going to look at the response of the Lord to the Passover. But as we wait for that, our thought this morning is simply this. You know what? Am I obeying what God has given me the insight to? Am I obeying His instructions? If not, then take it up a notch. We've already seen that God's will is going to get done in our life. He has a lot of ways to persuade us. We might think we're holy, we might think we're righteous, but there still might be some refining and purifying that has to take place in our lives. And to God be the glory, great things He has done. Why does He continue to purify us? Because He what? He loves us. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You and praise You that You haven't given up on us. Lord, I know that if I was God, I'd have given up on myself a long time ago. I'm just so thankful, Lord, for Your mercy and Your grace of knowing just the areas that I need to be refined in and purified in, and knowing just the ways to bring it about. Lord, I thank You, I praise You for that what You are doing in my life. I thank You for the great love that You have for me. And I would ask, Lord, that You would bless this congregation with that same love for You as You have shown towards them in refining and purifying them up to this point and even taking them further. Lord, help us, I pray, to be the type of individual that will hear and obey. That there will not be any additional plagues in our life to bring us to purity, but Lord, that we will hear and obey immediately. Help us to have that kind of spirit, that kind of obedient spirit. Now we ask these prayers in Jesus' precious name, amen.